You may be seated. So glad that you're here today. Wow, what a beautiful song of worship and blessing. I just can't think or help but to think of Moses being up on the mountain, and he said, God, if you could just pass by me so that I could see your glory. And the passage says that the glory of God was so powerful that he had to turn his back to Moses. But as he passed by, Moses saw his glory, and he came off that mountain, what? He was glowing. And just so happens this morning, we are going to be talking about the supernatural. Hallelujah. Supernatural. Now that word sometimes is a little bit, spikes a little bit of emotion. All your Pentecostals are like, yeah, the supernatural. And then others are like, oh no, what does the supernatural entail? I just want to comfort you today. The supernatural is one thing. It's only God. Amen. When the supernatural happens, it invites a reaction from people to say, only God could open that door. Only God could cause that healing to take place. Only God could give this type of peace that passes all understanding. Only God could guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. So when we're talking about the supernatural, it doesn't necessarily mean anything scary or weird. Can I get a little bit more lights up here? But what it means is only God. And if it invokes a reaction in you that you know that there's no other way that that could happen except for God. In fact, my kids introduced a song to me from Kanye West. Now, Kanye West, 2 years ago, for those of you that don't know who he is, he's a very popular rapper, and I think he's married to one of the Kardashians. I don't really keep track of all that, but Kanye West has had his heart and his life turned upside down by a living God. And he is speaking out in Hollywood. He is speaking out, and I'm not here to uplift a man, but I'm here to say only God can touch the heart of one of the hardest individuals who rapped about sex and pornography and death and hurting yourself and hurting others. And now out of his mouth is coming the glory of God. That's incredible. That is the supernatural. You have Denzel Washington. I just watched something the other day about him talking about how he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and there's nothing like that. That is the supernatural. And you know, if we gave you a chance right now, if we passed around a mic in here this morning, you would be able to say, you know what? Only God did this in my family. Only God provided this when I was a child. Only God did this in my marriage. So when we're talking about the supernatural, I'm getting excited, it is about God. And we're going to take the next few weeks and talk about how we can make the supernatural natural. Because really, that's what it's about. It's one thing to read, you know, you read the story in Charisma magazine, or you see something online, and it evokes an emotion on the inside of us. But can I just tell you, everything that's going on in the world right now, I don't know about you, but it's real easy to dull my senses. It's real easy to just push pause. If I don't have to feel this chaos and I can ignore it, we got to be careful because it's a slippery slope. Then we stop feeling God in our life. We stop feeling emotion. We stop feeling love for our neighbor. We stop feeling concern because we're trying to compartmentalize all the other emotions that we're having. And so we don't want to do that. And I believe, as believers, that the supernatural life should be a normal life for you and I. It shouldn't be abnormal. In fact, living a supernatural life is the most attractive thing to unbelievers. Amen. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and they say, I can't put a finger on it. There's just something different about you. There's something amazing about you. There's a light in you that I can't explain. When you walk into a room, there's a peace that you carry. When you walk into a room, there's a change in the atmosphere. And that is because that Christ lives on the inside of you. The Bible talks about greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I'm telling you right now, this is a time for the church to rise up. This is a time like never before for us to be walking in the supernatural. It's not time to shy back. It's not time to keep anything to ourselves. So the supernatural is living in the normal. Only God is the supernatural. So I want to stir up that desire in you. And so today, when we're talking about the supernatural, we're going to actually talk about supernatural perspective. Supernatural perspective. Our series is supernatural, but we're going to be talking about different things when it comes to the supernatural. And this morning, we're going to talk about supernatural perspective. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. If you have your Bible, if you don't, it's going to be up on the screen there. We're so glad that each and every single one of you are joining us online as well. Amen. And so this is a story. I actually picked the English Standard Version this morning to read out of because it really, the wording that the author pens just brings it down to earth. And it says, once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, at such and such a place shall be my camp. That means he was making plans to attack Israel. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. The man of God would have been Elisha. And the king of Israel sent to the place about him with the man of God, told him, thus he used to warn him, so he saved him there more than once or twice. We're talking about the supernatural. What was taking place here? A king was wanting to attack another kingdom. And yet every single time that king made his move, the Spirit of God used Elisha to speak and say, hey, don't go in that place because they're coming to attack. Well, the supernatural started to play havoc in the kingdom that was trying to overcome. And it goes on to say, and the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called all of his servants around. It's like, hey, who in here is the whisperer? Who in here is telling the king of Israel our act before we even get there? And they said, oh, wait, it's not us. There's nobody here that's letting out the secrets. It's actually Elisha. He is a servant of God, and he is the one that is telling even the secrets in your bedroom. Okay, that's a little awkward. That's the supernatural. But then it goes on to say, will you, in I can barely see up here, verse 19, and the mind of the king in Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing, and he called the servants and said to them, will you not show me who is this, the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, it is Elisha. He is in Dothan. Let's go down to Dothan, and we'll surround the city. And so the next morning, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? So this is what was taking place. The king wasn't having it anymore. He's like, hey, it's one person and maybe a helper. I'm going to go there. I'm going to take down these men, and then I'll continue to conquer. But the servant went out and said, oh my gosh, we're surrounded. What should we do? Elijah responded and said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. That's the supernatural. Then Elisha prayed and said, oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and the young servant, behold, saw a mountain that was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The supernatural. How many of you are Star Wars fans in here? Any Star Wars fans? Okay, I'm not one of you. I started out the first three. I'm like, this is fantastic. I enjoyed it. But then you have to watch three more and then three more. And I was saying to John, now, is this one before? Is this after? He's like, follow the storyline. It's so simple. Anyways, that's you. But Star Wars didn't come up with is it Obi-Wan or a Jedi? This is Jedi stuff right here. This is the supernatural. The next verse. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, please strike these people with blindness. So he struck them in the blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And this is your Star Wars stuff. And Elisha said to them, this is not the way. This is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man with whom you seek. And he led them to Samaria. Now, it's a little bit of fun, but that was some Jedi stuff. That is the supernatural. I'm going to look at another verse, Psalms chapter 34, verse 3. If you have your Bible, turn over. I love this verse, and it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's what we're doing as a body of Christ today. Why don't we pray and we'll open up the word. Father God, we're so grateful for the truth in your word. And Father, I thank you that every time that we gather in your name, that you have guaranteed that you will be here in the midst of us. Father, we felt your presence rolling in. Father, we are aware of God on the inside of us. Father, we thank you today. We don't gather out of a religious obligation, but Father, we gather because we believe that you are here today. I pray that we would sense your nearness. Father, transform us from the inside out. Father, those that are on the other side of the screen, thank you for bringing change into our lives for health and healing. In fact, just as a body right now, we continue to thank you that your healing power is working and willing to do of your good pleasure in Maggie's body. We say, be healed and be whole in Jesus' name. Sean's body, we speak to you. We say, be healed and whole and strong in Jesus' name. And Father, for other individuals on the other side of the screen, here in this room, we thank you. We thank you. We call our bodies whole and healed by the stripes of Jesus. Your word says that you took our sickness, you took our disease, and by your stripes we're healed. Father, we continue to eradicate and push back this virus that is trying to take over our nation. We thank you that we are virus free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, 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 amen. Don't get me started praying here. So, you know what? What we see here is this story of Elisha and his servant is really, they had two different perspectives, right? They were looking at the same thing, but they were seeing two different things. How often does that happen in our own life? If you're married, yes, it does happen. There's two sides of every coin, and then there's the right side, right? Okay, so, but look up at the screen here. There is such a thing when it comes to perspective, a picture of ambiguous images. Ambiguous images. When you look up here, tell me, who sees a rabbit? Raise your hand if you see a rabbit. Okay, I see a couple of rabbits. Who sees a duck? Anybody see a duck? Okay, now do you now, looking at it again, do you see the rabbit? Okay, the rabbit are the ears pointing this way. The duck is pointing to the right. But that is ambiguous art. That means you're looking at it, but you may not see it the same. It's all about your perspective. Let's check out the second picture. The second picture, perspective. Do you see a young woman or an older woman? Raise your hand if you see the young woman. Okay. Who sees the older woman? Anybody? Okay, a few hands. The nose, the chin in the young woman becomes the nose of the older woman. Do you see it? It looks like the lady that comes and delivers an apple in Snow White. John's still looking. The chin is the nose. Okay. I know, babe. You're used to looking at beauty, so. The chin. No, but it's all about perspective, okay? So can you see how The servant in this story, it was all about perspective. Elisha, she just got it. Good job, Melissa. perspective. How is it that two people can be staring at the same exact thing, but they saw something different? And that happens so much. We can look at a problem, or we can see a possibility. Let's look at the world today. Are we seeing a problem? Are we seeing a possibility? I see a time for the church to rise up. I see a time for me as a believer to be a light in darkness. I see a time for God to be able to show off the supernatural. But it's all about perspective. Do we see a problem or do we see a possibility? Do we see an obstacle or do we see an opportunity? Ooh, I'm preaching on my own toes today this morning. I got to see the opportunity in things. Some of us will see a situation. Others of us will see a solution. I want to encourage you this morning, when it comes to the supernatural, God is calling us to change our perspective, how we see things. But I have to ask myself, do I have an issue with perspective? Do I tend to lean in on the negative? Do I tend to always look for the worst? You can be looking at the same thing, but what is it that you see? Elisha saw that while he was surrounded by, yes, an army, but there was another army there that was going to rescue him. But the servant Gehazi, only saw that which was there to kill him or take his life. I mean, he was pretty much afraid. Elisha said, hey, don't be afraid. Open his eyes, Lord. But I kind of tend to think like Gehazi. But do you know actually his name in the Greek? He didn't have a fair rap because his name actually meant narrow lens. Narrow seer, if you look at his name. That means that he was taught from the very youngest age, spoken over him, prophetically said, you will only see things in a narrow lens. You will only see things that you can perceive, maybe in a negative sense. Can I just tell you, the world today, the enemy is trying to speak that over us. Have a narrow lens. This is the only way you can make it. You have to do this and this and this. And if we're not careful, we'll give in to that fear. But praise God, Elisha was able to say to him, wait. Don't be afraid. Okay? God, open his eyes and show him what I see. And the great thing about this, though, is that Elisha's servant, Gehazi, found that even in spite of seeing the bad guys there, that the good guys were also there. I want to kind of stir the supernatural in you, in your heart right now. What you're going through, is the solution already there that we don't see? Is our prayer not, God, deliver me from what I'm going through? This is too difficult. This is too hard. I can't handle this relationship. I can't handle this financial stress. I can't handle this unemployment. I can't handle, you fill in the blank. I can't handle this pain. I can't. Is the solution already there? And we just, instead of praying away the problem, maybe our prayer needs to be, God, change my perspective. Open my eyes. Now, do you know anybody else that has a problematic personality? I can remember when I was a young mom, the first time I went out on like a young mom's date with other moms, and my children were like playing in the dirt and climbing up the slide. And I'm like, yay, go. I noticed something different about the other moms. They were kept wiping their hands with wet wipes and be careful on the slide. And oh my gosh, they're on the swing. And I'm sitting there pushing my child higher. You know, I grew up in a home with six older brothers. And my mom, anytime we had something wrong with us, It was like, just go swimming off. We had a pool in our backyard. Mom, I think I sprained my ankle. Oh, the water will do you good. Go swim it off. Mom, I think I busted my chin. Oh, go swim it off. Yeah, anybody else had a parent like that? But it began to like mess with my psyche a little bit because I thought, as we were going on playgrounds and different things, I thought, am I a bad parent? Maybe I should be more hyper-concerned when my child gets hurt. And if we're not careful, the way that the world is going, it wants to push concern on you. It wants to push fear on you. It wants to push that you have to do it this way in order to survive. But, I want to submit to you today that we are not in a freak out time or moment. It's not a time for us to be actually overly, we can be concerned, but it's not a time for us to work it out on our own.
Right.
It's a time for us to trust in God. So I want to challenge you. We don't need to fight our way out. We don't need to freak our way out. But what we need to do is we need to see our way out. What does the Bible say in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16? This is Elijah, and he's saying, hey, to his servant, don't be afraid. In verse 17, you know, he says, lift up your eyes, open your eyes, and let him see. And as he lifted up his eyes, that is when he saw. God gave him a fresh perspective. I want to challenge you today. I found this. This is my mom's. It's a nice magnifying glass. I am finding, the older I get, that I'm saying I need light. Maybe I just need glasses. That magnifying glass, glass is very nice. Is that what it's called, a magnifying glass? Yes, okay. So I have found that the Bible here says, look up, open your eyes, and let them see. I have found that in life today, everything revolves around this magnifying glass that we put in front of us. And whatever we set our eyes on, that is what gets magnified. And if we're not careful, the news will tell us what to magnify. The voice of a scared parent will tell us what to magnify. The voice of a coworker or a boss will tell us what to magnify. Even the voice of a spouse. And we can't fault people for where they are coming from. This is not a time for us to point a finger. It's not a time for us to be on one side or the other. I'm the type of person that just keeps scrolling until finally I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to shut this app because it is messing with what my eyes are seeing, what my ears are hearing. Now, the Bible talks about that we're to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is no different. It's not just guarding our hearts and minds from the enemy or the devil, but we need to guard our hearts and minds from anything that takes our eyes off of our Savior, takes our eyes off of Jesus. And you might think, well, I can handle this, and I'm gonna set them straight, and I'm gonna tell them this. Let me just ask you something. Does that bring Jesus into the situation at all? No, most likely not. In fact, God wants to give you a fresh set of eyes. Let's turn to that scripture in Psalm chapter 34, verse 3. Psalms chapter 34, verse 3. When we talk about magnifying, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Do you know that I have read that scripture wrongly for numerous years? I always thought that the words exalt and magnify meant the same thing. This morning we were here, we were exalting the name of Jesus. We were magnifying the name of Jesus. We were lifting up the name of Jesus. And boy, the Holy Spirit came right in. But you know that the word exalt and magnify are two different meanings in the Greek. I never realized that till I started to look this up. And magnify in the Greek, it actually means gadel, which means to grow, to become great, to make powerful. Let me ask, can we grow the name of Jesus? Well, not necessarily. He's about as big as he's ever going to be. Can we cause him to be any greater than he is? Now, I'm not talking about mind sight. I'm not talking about what we do in our heart and reflect. I'm talking about actually making him great or more powerful. No, he is all great. He is all powerful. He is as big as he's ever going to be. But in our humanity, we can't necessarily do anything. So what does this passage actually mean when it says to magnify the Lord? I believe it simply means set your eyes on him. Set your magnifying glass on him. Yes, we're going to exalt the name of Jesus, but we're going to exalt it so that it comes into our eyesight so that we can set our magnifying glass on him. It's so important that we recognize that the supernatural is right here. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. We sang this morning, "Oh, river, river, rise up in me." That God's given us the solution. God's given us the answers. Yet I wonder how many times my eyes looked out beyond and looked for a solution of my own power. My eyes are looking down. My eyes are looking at my banking account. My eyes are looking if this counselor could help me. My eyes are looking if my child would just do this. My eyes are looking if my boss would do this differently. When really, we have to magnify the Lord. How do we magnify the Lord? We set our eyes on him. Well, Kathy, that's really easy for you to say, but how do I do it? How do I do it? What did the servant do? Gehazi. What did he do? He had to look up. So I want to encourage you this morning, we have to magnify the power and not the problem. It's so easy today. It feels good to magnify the power. The problem. You ever get with your girlfriends? Can I just speak to our ladies for a moment? Don't be a person that sits there and talks about the problem. Be the opposite and say, let's talk about the power of God that's going to bring you through this. You know, my best girlfriends are the ones that I go to and complain, and they say, you know what? Shut your mouth. Don't talk about your family like that. Don't talk about that problem like that. What has God promised you? Those are the best relationships that you can have. So we want to not magnify the situation, but magnify the solution. We've got to change our heart. So, Kathy, okay, great. How do I do that? I'm glad you asked, because the mind can be a tricky thing, can it? It's easy to revert back to the problem and not the power. I'm sad small groups have one more week. I have loved this small group session. Anybody else enjoying our small group sessions? Don't faint, don't give up. Enjoy this last week, because we'll be starting again in the fall. In fact, right now Ashley is looking for additional groups if anybody's interested in leading a group. I'm just telling you, my flesh sometimes is like, you don't have time to do this. There's just no way possible. You can't add one more thing on your plate. But when I get there and I start in the group, by week two, I'm thinking, what would my life be without this group right now? I love what I'm learning. And last week in my small group, we learned the three R's. You guys mind if I discuss those with you real quick? The three R's. So when we're talking about what to magnify, number one, we have to recognize what our issue is. Recognize what you are feeling, what you are thinking, and recognize when a thought is from the enemy. Because our thoughts actually generate our feelings. So when something comes into our mind, when we're talking about magnifying, using our magnifying glass, we have to recognize what is a wrong thought. In fact, it says, you're familiar with 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And it says here, casting down arguments and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Recognize when something's coming to take your eyes off of Jesus. Recognize that thought. Number two, we have to replace that thought. Now we're talking about how do we set our magnifying glass? Wouldn't it be nice if we just had our hand right here and say, okay, I'm not going to worry about that problem. That problem's not going to wake me up anymore. That problem's not going to bother me when I'm going to sleep. That's not going to bother me first thing in the morning. That problem's not going to bother me next time I get in an argument with that person. It's easier said than done, isn't it? So we're talking about how do we do it. Number one, we recognize it. Number two, we replace it. We find scriptures that will disprove that lie. The enemy is so strategic. The second you get the victory, what does the Bible say? That he what? Immediately? Do you think that the Holy Spirit penned that on purpose? Yes, he did. He immediately comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But we have what it takes to overcome the Word of God. So we're going to recognize it. We're going to replace it. What are we going to replace it? With the Word of God. I can't do this. What does the Bible say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm stricken with fear. I don't even know how to function right now. Anxiety is trying to take over me. Okay, wait, the Bible says that I don't have a spirit of fear, but I have a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. God, thank you for my sound mind. Thank you for the mind of Christ. Can I just tell you, that just doesn't happen by itself. You have to replace it. You have to take that thought. I don't care if it takes sticky tabs. I don't care if it takes 4x7 cards. Whatever you need to replace that lie. It's talking out loud. It's getting it down here so that your eyesight is looking and magnifying the answer, not the problem. And lastly, the third R is to repeat. Repeat. And it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "This is the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Do you know I had the worst time with my multiplications 8 and 9 for some reason? I mean, I was going into like fourth grade, and my brothers, they could just, it would just come out of them. They wouldn't even have to think about it. Now, if I tell you right now, what's 9 times 9? See, it just, did you think about that, or did it just come out of you? What's 2 times 2? She didn't even think about it, just came out of her. Well, my father locked me in his office, and he said, "Don't come out until you know these multiplications." Well, I was like, "You're funny." But an hour later, I come out, and he asked me, and I didn't know. Go back in the office. I am not exaggerating. I didn't go to bed that night till like 11:45. I cried, and my mother was like, "Oh, please don't do this to her, Tom. She will know these multiplications." Now I know my 8s and 9s. Why? Because I got it down in me. And can I just tell you, when it comes to repeating the Word of God, when the enemy comes and says, "What's this problem?" Just like 2 times 2 is 4, it should come immediately out of our mouth. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It comes immediately out of my mouth. I trust in the Lord and the power of his might. It comes in, but let me ask you, when that problem comes, what comes out of our mouth? Are we hyper negative, or do we recognize, replace, and repeat? Listen, faith increases, doubt and fear will slip away. We should be living in the supernatural now like never before. Never before. We're the answer to the solution or the problem in the world today. The Christ on the inside of you. How we look up. So I want to encourage you today. I want the music ministry come forward. I want to encourage you today to fix your eyes on Jesus. He is our rescuer. He is the answer, and he can and will give you a new perspective. I know in my own life, I've had to tweak my thinking. I see so much on the news. I hear so much from people that I respect highly, And I mean, I was in a conversation last night and I thought to myself, I don't know what to believe. And as soon as I said that, my heart arrested me. Kathy, how dare you say that when I live on the inside of you? I, the Holy Spirit, will lead you and will guide you. I will order your footsteps. You hear my voice. Don't ever say you don't know what to believe. And you need to know today that God is on the throne. He is working on our behalf. This is setting up, what's going on in the world is setting us up for an opportunity to see his hand move like never before. But it's all about perspective. So I had to do a heart check. I had to ask myself, okay, Holy Spirit, thank you for reminding me. It's my choice as a believer and of how I change my perspective, what I am magnifying, what my eyes are on. We have to fix our eyes on him. In fact, I wrote down just a couple things after I got home last night. Who had a nice 4th of July? Anybody? Happy 4th of July. We're so grateful for each and every single one of our servicemen and women that serve and allow us to have the freedom that we have. I'm glad to be an American. I recognize today that revival is coming. You know, there's a scripture in Romans chapter 12. It's about one of my favorite scriptures. Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured what took place on the cross. But you know, I think the joy that was set before him was you and it was me. The joy that was set before him is what we're going through right now. The joy that was set before him is the individual on the other side of the screen that feels all alone. The joy that was set before whatever you're walking through, look for the joy. Know that he has already overcome. Remind yourself, there's time and time again in the Word of God where I think it looks like it was a setup for Jesus, but it was really a setup for the Holy Spirit to show off. I mean, Elijah's servant, what did he didn't know that there was another army there that was the solution. And so many times for the joy that was set before us, we've got to recognize that what we're going through might be for a bigger cause? Is your faith being strengthened? Do you know the author of the word better? Are you seeing his compassion in your life? Is there times, I'm telling you, Wednesday night, I forget who I said it to, but I think it was to Lindy and Sandy. Wednesday night during worship, I truly felt like, I've never felt this before, but I felt like I was laying my head on our Father's chest and he was just stroking my hair. Saying, I love you. You guys are going to overcome this. The church is going to be stronger than it's ever been. Revival is going to take place in families that feel like they're broken. Neighbors are going to come into a relationship with Christ. It's not darkness, Kathy. It's light. Light is coming through. And I want to be that voice to you today. Lean into the supernatural. In fact, just as the music ministry just plays this music, I'm going to read this out loud. Close your eyes for just a moment. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. It might look like you are surrounded by sickness, but you are surrounded by a healer. It might look that you are surrounded by lack, but you are surrounded by a provider. It might look that you are surrounded by defeat, but you are surrounded by a victor. It might look that you are surrounded by loss, but you are surrounded by a restorer. It might look that you are surrounded by shame, but you are surrounded by a redeemer. It might look that you are surrounded by brokenness, but you are surrounded by a rebuilder. I don't know who needs to receive that right now. rebuilding your family. That which the enemy meant to steal from you, he can't. There's a turnaround season, a turnaround season. It might look like you're surrounded by burnout, but you are surrounded by the refresher. It might look like that you are surrounded by loneliness, but you are surrounded by a befriender. You're not alone. You're not alone. It might look like you're surrounded by the fatherless, but you are surrounded by the Father. It might look like you are surrounded by fear, but can I just tell you this morning, you are surrounded.